They like to come in and snuggle with me. We watch, you know, watch a movie or something. And then we started all sleeping together. It's like, Mom, where were you? Like, oh, I was in Liv's room. Like, oh, why were you in Liv's room? Like, I slept down there last night. Oh, okay. And then they just, it just becomes normal.
Yeah, they adapted to it very quick. Started knocking on the door at 6 a.m. wanting Cheerios or whatever.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kahlo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, conscious uncoupling, and creating the relationship that truly aligns for you. This is episode number 123, We Only Date Unicorns, Part 2. If you have not already listened to Part 1, why don't you go ahead and stop this recording, go back one previous episode to episode 122 with Liv, Josh, and Char, where we discuss how all six of us have throuples and how we live in a world designed for two people. It's a really interesting conversation where we talk about kids and work, and do we talk about being at work and what it's like to be a throuple out in the world. So I hope you guys really enjoy this part too. Sounds like you all three have external jobs.
I do.
Do you have employers that, do they know that you're in a throuple?
I try not to make a point of it. Like if the conversation is geared towards that direction, I am pretty open. Like some of my colleagues know I have a husband and some know I have a wife because that's how I refer to them. I don't want to call them boyfriend, girlfriend because I feel I'm not at that age anymore. But I've never actually said, hey, I have both, or hey, I mean, I'm not that type of person. I don't hide it, but I don't put it in people's faces.
Yeah. We realized a lot of people don't have the setup we do, you know, working from home or home businesses and stuff. So yeah, they have to worry about their employer and they cannot come out and be 100% open. So that was another reason. It's like, well, we can. So I guess we should come out.
Right. So I'm the only one that actually works outside the house. So I'm the only one that actually gets to have these conversations with colleagues. I don't know. I guess I still feel a little weird about it in the sense that I don't want people making any assumptions or decisions about me that doesn't, it's about something that really doesn't concern them in any way. So yeah, I guess I'm, now that I think about it, I am not comfortable of speaking about my relationship status because I think I might have, it may have repercussions.
I've always been very open about it, but walking the line, like if somebody asks me any question or anything, I'm always 100% open about, oh, I'm in a throuple. And but I also trying to walk the line of not being in people's face, like, oh, I'm in a throuple. Does that offend you?
I'm polyamorous. Are you triggered?
Yeah. You've always been better about this, Josh. More open. Yeah. I've always been the kind of person that, like, yeah, if it's not your problem, I'm not going to give you the information.
It's none of your business.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like Josh was touching on a second ago, because we are in positions where our careers aren't jeopardized and, you know, like we're not concerned about custody issues or anything like that. Like I know if somebody's divorced, especially like, or have, you know, really other things where they are considered about losing custody of their children, like this is not something where you really can be out. So because we are in a position where that's not the case for any of us, it was part of our motivator. Like, okay, we know there's other people, there's got to be other people out there like us and they need voices that can start trying to make this more normalized and accepted. So here we are.
Same for me. And that's where I go back to purpose, right? When you create this life on purpose and then you realize, now I kind of feel like I have an obligation. I have this stage that I've created and I'm living in this very, you know, alternative way that people are really curious about. And I know about, I'm sure you guys are the same as me. And they like, this is really interesting. I want to hear about more people that are living in this way that you're living and the way that I'm living and the way that just being open in the world is. And the more that we can talk about it and be free, the more it's going to normalize.
And then we don't have to hide. We don't have to be at work and worried that we're going to get fired. We get to be, and the four of us are very normal people. Like you would see us in Walmart or the grocery store and be like, oh yeah, there's a mom. And I like to normalize that too. I'm just like you. I'm a, you know, baseball mom. I've got teenage kids. I run a company. I can have a conversation with you and you can understand what I'm saying. You know, come join us if you want to, if it's for you, you know, don't be scared.
Exactly.
I think one of the good things that came out of COVID is everybody got stuck at home for a long time and they were like, with all this extra free time, they're like, who am I? And what do I want out of life? And because there was just this huge surge of people coming out as polyamorous after that. And that's the story we hear over and over again from people. He's like, oh, we started dating this woman in 2020. You're like, oh, I'm starting to hear this on repeat a lot. And I think with, you know, the explosion, but everybody's still being very closeted about it. So it's like, all right, let's catch this up, but let's catch the laws up and let's get some protections in place so people can be who they are.
To circle back to something you said earlier, Jen, about you have three partners. I'm curious what your dynamic is. Do any of your other partners know each other? Like, are you parallel? Are you kitchen table?
I feel like we're trying to be kitchen table. they all know about each other. Some of them have met each other, and which is really fun. So I do a bi-weekly yoga and margarita night. The yoga studio.
I'm in.
You three are invited anytime if you want to come to Arkansas. It's Monday night. So we do yoga together and then we walk over on the trail to go have margaritas and eat Mexican food. And it is the most fun girls' night. And everyone is in an open relationship. So we talk about sex and we talk about our partners and we talk about this thing we're stuck on or like who has the best sex toy or whatever we want to talk about while we're having margaritas. And it's really funny. I looked up one day and I was like, I have slept with over half this table. And a lot of them have slept with each other. It was like the L word where they're drawing on the whiteboard and it's like, this one's connected to this one. It's connected to this one. And my heart was so full realizing that we all get along. We all really like each other. We're all really into the same stuff. And my two partners sat by each other. And then my ex-girlfriend sat by one of them. And it was just so normal and beautiful. And it gives me hope that as I continue to progress in being open and in my friend group and with my partners, that's the kind of future that I'm building for myself. That when the kids do leave and I do want to go build my commune, I'm just going to invite them all come live with me.
Do you drink the margaritas before the yoga or after?
After. So we do a yoga class where like about 3/4 of the way in, you're praying for it to be done, you know, and all I can think of is the margaritas to get me through. I'm like, I just 15 more minutes of this, you know.
First, we do it the other way around.
Yeah.
When you took me to yoga, we drank the margarita.
We first moved to Texas. We drove out to San Antonio and we ate barbecue. First Texas barbecue across from the Alamo. And I had this beef rib that was $100. I felt so sick after eating this thing. And I drank this ginormous, one of those tall, like Vegas style margaritas, a yard of margarita. And then we went and did cave yoga inside a cave. I was so miserable. I was like, it was like the worst thing I've ever done.
First of all, he did it for me because he's not into yoga. He wanted to surprise me. So he found this amazing class in a cave. And it was so cool. But we had barbecue before and we drank margaritas. And throughout the yoga class, I could hear him like making sounds like he was not feeling well.
Yeah. The rules for yoga are the same as the rules for sex. You never eat a giant meal before you go do yoga.
No onion pizza or anything.
Oh, God. Yeah, it sounds like you have the right dynamic there, Jen.
Yes.
So to circle back to the why we prefer dating unicorns, I think we all kind of covered why that works for us. But what are some reasons or dynamics where this might be a good fit for people, like in general?
If one of the partners is like, if the male is straight, you can't really bring another male. And if we're talking about threesomes, everybody wants to have the threesomes, right? I do. I want to have that. So if it would be two men and both would be straight, then no more threesomes for me. I mean, I guess you could do the MFM threesome, but it's not the same. It's just not the same. So I think the dynamic where just dating unicorns would be ideal is if the male is straight.
Yeah.
Too much? Did I over answer that? Somebody else wants to answer it?
Well, some women want that. You know, that's the fantasy, 2 minutes at the same time.
Yeah, but no, but in my opinion, like if there's, what kind of threesome is it if it's like kind of like the V thing?
Oh, for me?
Yeah, I want to like have the whole.
Well, I think the men stay far enough away. You know, the woman is like the swing door thing.
Yeah, I get.
They call that sex move the gate.
I'm not going to put this on the podcast.
You wouldn't believe what they edit out of it. They always edit my best stuff.
I always say we're not going to put this on the podcast.
And then it ends up in there anyways.
No. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So you could do MFM. I think I was thinking more like relationship wise.
Oh, okay. I thought you were meant just for NSA.
I wasn't just thinking, you're right. I kind of started with the threesome. But I'm thinking if I am to have a throuple or V type of relationship, for me, ideally, is if I connect with people, because I am very sexual, I connect with people through sex. And if I would be straight and you would be straight, I think there would be a lack of connection between you and I when there would be a threesome. My opinion. That's how I want to relate. Like, I want people to touch you. I don't want to be like, oh my God, you touched me. No, you know, I would not feel comfortable. So I think like in that dynamic.
What were you talking about the other day? It's like if it's a male, female, male, but the males are straight. And then what if they accidentally cross swords?
Right. Then disaster, right? The threesome is ruined.
That's when the threesome ended.
It's ruined. I know. So if I am to have a threesome, I want it to be with people that are very comfortable with each other. So therefore, it needs to be some level of bisexuality between the partners that are the same sex, my opinion.
Or at the very least, like voyeurism on the part of the person that's not bisexual.
Yeah. What do you think, Jen?
The Vs that I've done with Scott, maybe the woman is just bi-curious and she hasn't really explored yet. So there might be like light touching between her and I, or maybe some kissing, but there's no going down on anybody. And then Scott fucking both of us. The reason I love that is I am such a voyeur. I love to watch. Like, I like all the angles. I'm like, I want to see him fucking her. I want to see her face. I want to see the expressions. And like all of that really turns me on. So that's where these have worked for me in the past. Moving forward, we've decided we really want to find women that are attracted to both of us and want both of us, and women that are pretty mature in their bisexuality. So they're not afraid to go down on you. They know what to do. Maybe there's a strap-on involved. And that really makes, you know, the threesomes, to me, a little bit more fun than just the V.
Right. So pretty much what I was saying, it's nice once in a while to do a completely FMF or, you know, the other way around. But like you want to have that connection.
Yeah, I think from the swinger side, when I hear people say we only couple swap, usually it's same room couple swap. The reason for that is they want to enjoy the sexual experience of swapping and still being in the room, but them not having the ability to get attached to the other person, right? It's like you can't have any feelings. And so I've always found that really fascinating with swingers, where they say, like, I've had clients that have said, well, if he catches feelings, it's over. And I'm like, how do you not catch feelings? I have a real problem with that.
Well, I just realized now when I was talking about the threesome and the relationship that I'm really kind of combining the idea of sex and romance into one. Apparently my brain cannot think past that, because I'm thinking, yeah, I want to have the connection. And I'm not just thinking sexually. So therefore, I wanted bisexuality of, everybody to be sexually attracted to each other, because otherwise, how can you ever have a relationship if you're not going to be that way?
That's interesting. You touch on couple swapping, and there are a lot of people that have that as a rule. And I find it interesting that that's not as demonized as that we only relationship with unicorns, because that's also it's a very similar dynamic. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's telling you right up front, like, we're closed off to having a relationship separately from what we have here.
Yeah. It's another thing we always say too. It's like, why is cheating isn't as demonized? That's like expected, but poly is very demonized. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want to have a relationship with more than one person. What's wrong with you, freak?
Yeah.
Slut. That is a great point. And also about the couples having sex in the same. So before I met Josh, I was in a non-monogamous relationship and I avoided dating as a couple with my husband at the time. Because of that reason, I thought just not having the one-on-one time with the other person, it didn't give me the same satisfaction in the relationship with them. So just being as a couple all the time, it didn't feel right. It felt like we're just there for sex. We're just there to get our kink on and just get out of there. So it's the same with a unicorn or two people or whatever dynamic it is. If you're just going to do things like that, then that's where the bad part of it like comes in, when you're treating this other person or these other people as an object to satisfy your desire.
Unless the other person wants to be an object.
Yeah. We do not kink shame.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the whole point of this whole episode is the do what's right for you. Like, just because other people look down on it doesn't mean that it's not still a perfectly okay, acceptable thing, as long as all parties involved are on the same page with what's on the table here, right?
Exactly. Jennifer, you're a relationship coach. Have you ever worked with a throuple before?
No.
What is most of your clients? What does that look like? Their relationship structures, I mean.
So they're 45 to 65. They have been married 20 plus years. And they're like, we want to open our relationship and we're terrified. Can you give us a 101 of what are all the different dynamics? What can we have? How do we not blow up our relationship? How do we hit on someone? How do we get a girlfriend? How do we, whatever. And so I do a lot of that, as well as swingers also tend to come to me. And it's usually because, well, that's not true. Swingers and poly people come to me, but a lot of times it's because there's an issue in their relationship. We started out with this one dynamic where we were dating together and now we're dating separately. And now there's massive jealousy and my nervous system is all out of whack and I don't know how to bring our marriage back together. Can you help us create some sort of procedures or some things that we can do? Like, how can we create a new dynamic together? And so one of the things I wanted to say, as I've been listening to the last few minutes, is I feel like as our consciousness evolves, especially in this space, we start to realize that these boxes, even of being open, they don't necessarily work anymore. That just being a swinger, just being poly, or just being a throuple, or just being a whatever. And you start to realize, like, I'm kind of a hybrid of all of this, or I'm moving into something even more different where we're a throuple that lives together. That's really edgy that no one's doing. You guys are leading that. And so I think that coming into a space of being open, or if you've been in an open relationship for a while and it just doesn't feel like it's continuing to work in the old dynamic you were in, you have full permission to change your dynamic at any time.
That's what everybody we meet is always in between something. They were here, they moved here, now they're coming back this way. It's like a living organism. It's constantly changing and moving. So I think Liv talks about that a lot.
I do. I always say never say never. Because every time I said that, I was proven wrong. So one good example is when I was non-monogamous, I would always say polyamory is not for me. And because I never saw it that way. I didn't think I could, even though I have a huge capacity to love multiple people and have different types of relationships. I was in a hierarchical non-monogamous relationship. And at that time, I really didn't have any capacity to love anybody else. And polyamory was not for me, absolutely. So I kept saying that to everyone I met. And then after some years, I realized that actually I was getting drained by not having more romantic connections with the people in my life. So I very naturally gravitated towards polyamory without even knowing what I was doing, without even labeling it in any way. And then when I finally found it in the throuple with us, there's something just clicked. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I was missing all my life. When my husband at the time and I would go out somewhere or meet somebody, and then it was just he and it was something missing, but I couldn't put my finger on it, what it was. I always thought maybe it's like my mental health or me not finding, like, whatever it was. And then when the three of us got together in an actual relationship as a throuple, and we would go out and then come back home, and then I would never have that something missing feeling. That's when I realized that's what it was that was missing. I needed to be with more than one partner. So I guess I was always polyamorous. I just didn't know about it.
Because nobody's doing it. You didn't see anybody else.
I had no example. So yeah, never say never, the point of what I was saying, because you change, the people in your life change, your needs change. And if today you're into something, tomorrow you might be into something else.
I feel like I have a last question for the three of you. You're up for it?
Yes.
I'm curious how the three of you support each other.
Like in what way? Like emotionally or?
Like in, yeah, emotionally, or someone's trying to get a new job, or there's something big happening in the family. How do the three of you support each other? What does that look like?
I think it's very situational, typically. We all do have very different strengths. You know, like obviously, like Josh is a very masculine presence. So I think he, for both Liv and I, he offers this like containment. Liv probably knows how to explain what containment is better than I do. But Teal Swan has some great videos on it. But it's a new concept to me. And I feel like something that I, in past years, have not taken full advantage of, but like he's such a strong masculine presence in my life that I am free to expand and explore who I truly am and let it kind of lean into my, the feminine chaos side and not always have to be in control. Like, you know, you see so many women that are struggling to balance it all. It's like, well, What if I can just let things be out of balance sometimes, and knowing like he's this like strong, consistent presence that he grounds me, you know? And then Liv, on the flip side, I think she has been leaning into her femininity more than I have. And she inspires me to kind of let loose and relax in ways that in the past I've struggled to, just because that's the culture I was raised in. You know, I was raised in church, very conservative. And you have these like tiny boxes that women are supposed to fit in. And it just gets exhausting when you're not wired to try to fit in those boxes. And Liv is like, hey, this looks like it's not working for you. So what if we let go of that? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that feels good.
For me, both these women are so day and night different. It's like if I'm going, having some kind of struggle or problem, Liv is very quick with a hug and affirmations and positivity. And Char's more like, let's brainstorm this problem. Let's think it out. Let's, you know, what can I do? How can I jump in? How can we get into it? So it's like coming at it from two different angles. It's really nice. It's like a full package of support.
I also try to be very practical. Like when one of you needs something, I'm actually asking, I want to be told, how can I help you? Rather than, you know, like just sitting and listening. So I feel like if you need something, I'm here to help you. I ask you all the time, what do you need me to do? What do you want me to do? And I have an easier time when somebody just says, I need you to do something for me, and I'll just do it. So the way I think there's a lot of support in the house. Whenever somebody has anything they have to do, I feel like all three of us are involved. And we actually get to experience that a lot through this podcast, like having this business together. It's so much. It's like we do so many things, and we're enmeshed between business and relationship, and it's just this whole. And for some people that might not work, and for us it actually seems to like work pretty well. I'm trying to focus on like, let's not all do podcasts all the time, but sometimes we all actually always do podcasts all the time, and it still works, even though I'm concerned that it might kind of take over sometimes. But yeah, we do a great job at supporting each other.
Beautiful.
How about for you and Scott, like what are some ways that you find support in this relationship dynamic that maybe you haven't in past ones?
Mm. Scott challenges me. So I've had two husbands. My first one was very verbally abusive, very angry. And I was with him for a decade. And then my second husband was exactly the opposite, because of course we call in the opposite, right? We need balance. And he was very passive and very safe and very passive, very safe. And so now that I have Scott, Scott's been wonderful because he's brought like fire back into my life. And I had almost another decade with my second husband to really figure out who I am in this world and fall into my femininity. I was so masculine. And so it was like, I was birthed out of the canal with the second husband where I'm like, okay, I'm all me now. I'm a complete human and I'm ready to go back into the ring and learn some cool stuff. And so Scott is, he's an engineer. He's a mechanical engineer. So he's constantly like thinking about how things work in the universe and life and Elon Musk and like always bringing me all these podcasts to listen to. Like, how do you think about this? And so it's this like nice blend of a bit of controversy because we don't see the world in the exact same way, but it challenges me to really question the way I think about things. And then being wrapped in this like envelopment of open relationship and safety and security in that, plus his, he's very masculine as well. He's a lot like Josh, like just very grounded in his masculinity. It's just this delicious soup that I get to play in, feeling very much myself and feeling also very free to have other, you know, other relationships and be present for other partners and be present for Scott and our kids and the business that I've created. And it's all just so yummy. Like being a human is so much fun. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love it. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you for any of your services, Jen, how can they reach you?
Ooh, good question. I'll obviously give you guys links to my stuff and I'll put yours in the my show notes as well. I would say start with the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever. And that's a great place. And my link tree is there. So you can do one-on-one coaching with me. You can listen to the podcast. I have a retail business. There's all kinds of fun ways to be in my world. And what about you three?
We're on all the platforms as well, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, and then email thruppletalk@gmail.com. We love especially hearing from other thrupples or people that are wanting to be a thruple and kind of trying to navigate this largely uncharted territory here.
Yep. And you can send us voicemail questions. It's in the descriptions below.
We're going to be adding links to the descriptions and all the videos.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for hanging out with us today.
This has been awesome.
Same. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm just so excited to meet you three in real life. And I think this was a fun conversation. Hopefully our listeners agree.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that's really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics sound interesting to you and you'd love to get some coaching from me, check out the link in the show notes or the link in my bio for more information on coaching with Jen.